I'm going to deal a little bit differently. I want to talk some about the pedagogy pieces, because I'm hoping that at the end, when we have time for questions, that maybe some people will have some ideas and maybe be able to talk together about this. So my name is Heather McCabe. I'm an assistant professor at the Indiana University School of Social Work. I don't usually put all my other things because it starts to get really obnoxious, but in this particular case, I do it because it shows the collaborations across our school. The last thing there where it says law faculty with the RCDC LEND program, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the leadership education and neurodevelopmental disability programs that are funded out of MCH. But those programs actually are designed to teach students across disciplines. Our particular LEND trains up to 17 disciplines in the same program. And I was fortunate enough as a social work student back, you know, a couple years ago, to do that program for the first time. And then when I went to law school, I actually went back through the program as a law student. And so one of the things I'll say coming into this fellowship, which I also want to thank Charity, certainly Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding, but Charity for designing and running, I really found like I found my people. Because as we do get so siloed in the academy, and it's really been just delightful to be working with all of the folks who go, you know, I can get around this idea, and it seems to be coming into its own. And my project, at first I thought, oh, this will be fairly simple. Not at all, is getting increasingly complex. But what I wanted to do was create a seminar where we would have students from different disciplines coming around policy issues. And so this course we've ended up titling, and some of the different strategic and institutional setting issues got us to this title, Public Health, Law, and Policy in an Interprofessional Setting. And it's going to have enrollment by law, public health, and social work students this first semester. It'll be starting in spring of 2015. We also are going to be having an experiential component with community partners. So at this point, we have our emergency surge organization working with us, an organization called the Indiana Health Advocacy Coalition, which supports medical legal partnerships throughout the state. And we also have the Riley Child Development Center, and there's going to be some investigation of ABA therapies and Medicaid reimbursement. And so we're working with those community partners around the goals, not necessarily of the content of public health law. All students have a prerequisite to take from the law school, public health law. There are prerequisites at public health and social work as well. And so the goals of the course really are around that interprofessional skill building, really thinking about a common language and knowledge set in public health law, and this experiential component. And I think really reflected in a lot of what the three previous speakers have said, and probably what Samantha has experienced over the years in her work in medical legal partnerships, that this idea that getting them in there and doing it hopefully will move them forward in that. And the other thing our university has as part of our strategic plan, this goal of interprofessional collaborations that are engaged in the community. And so in terms of selling this to my university, it was a pretty easy sell. Selling it to the faculty curriculum committees of the three schools, a little bit more difficult. You'll see some of that reflected in at the School of Law. It's a 2-credit-hour course. At the School of Social Work and Public Health, it's a 3-credit-hour course. The School of Public Health, very quickly, with the support of one of our mentors from the program, was able to get it approved as a preferred elective for the health policy track. And so anybody who takes that, it counts towards that, so there's no problem there. In social work, the students have actually created a petition asking for this course to count as one of their policy courses. It originally was not designed to do that. There's been a discussion. We've been talking about what competencies it would reach, but we're working on that. And then the School of Law wanted to see a complete syllabus, reasonably enough, right? It's still under design. So working with them on that, the number of minutes per semester are different at the law school. The schedule is different at the law school. And so up front, I've simply said to the students, this is the schedule. Are you willing to do this? We have actually 3 law students enrolled at this point in time. Enrollment's not over. One is taking it as a law class. The other 2 are taking it as a public health class. So So we'll just see. It'll be interesting to see. But at this point, thankfully, we have enough enrollment to go forward. I think I kind of addressed this one. I like this slide whenever I talk about this course, because one of the things going into it is you realize fairly quickly this is not something that the university is really used to doing. And so one of the things I found is modeling the behaviors that we're asking for the students to use, creating that interprofessional dialogue, creating those relationships to be able to get people to see the value of the course. I don't know how I'll use that or if I'll use that in class, but it did occur to me as we were going through the process. It's very similar to some of the things I'm going to be asking the students to do. So it's been an interesting thing, and I will say, despite feeling this way, it's already paid dividends in terms of additional relationships across campus and people getting excited about it. People that I was really surprised were excited about it are now saying, hey, can you come talk about this? So my hope is the students, ideally, are the ones who feel that way too. So I'm not going to read. I know these are wordy, but I also know APHA leaves the slides up for people to see if they couldn't come, so I put some extra words on them. I apologize. But with skills as a goal, one of the reasons that I really tailored it this way, there's research, we have older research, but a fairly recent study that really discusses how public health attorneys need more experience working in the public health community and how the public health community really needs to understand how to access and interface with public health attorneys. And so we really, that's the goal of this course. The culture of health, which we're hearing a lot about these days, we have to be able to think about social determinants of health. And one of the things that we're seeing is it takes a multifaceted approach to really get at these. And so if we can have people having conversations around these things and able to really converse about them, the hope is we'll be better at getting there. So I'm proposing in this that this course is a training to give people the skills to communicate in ways that raises the level of the policies, of the laws that are able to be implemented. I think it makes sense. I think as we listen to everybody, we're all kind of talking about that. But one of the things that I struggle with is how do I teach this? And this is where I'm kind of bringing this today, hoping there are some folks in the room who say, hey, I have some ideas. So tools for teaching the skills. One of the things we've discussed, and one of our colleagues in the fellowship, Liz Tyler-Tobin, has a fantastic exercise she does with her students to think about what are the students' perceptions of the other disciplines involved. If we don't start with kind of knowing where we're coming from, we may not be able to address them as readily. I'm looking for ideas to continue to think about that. How do we recognize communication styles and patterns? So I teach executive leadership in the social work school. We do a lot around leadership theory, management theory, communication theory. We read Kuzin Posner, if any of you are familiar with that. We do strengths finders. So we were given the opportunity to do strengths finders through the fellowship, which I was delighted by. Some other folks probably were thinking, oh, what are we going to do with this? But I think we all had some fun kind of seeing the different ways that we approach things. So I've listed here strengths finders. Certainly there's the Myers-Briggs test, the LPI, which is a leadership indicator through that you can get through Kuzin Posner's research, really thinking about how do we help students identify their styles and how they work with each other, or do we? Is this something we want to do? Does it matter? Guided cases. So one of the things that I'm suggesting we'll do is to do some guided case studies in class where faculty is there to kind of support the students as they do them and help when people get stuck. And then going out into the experiential learning environment and working as a team around some very concrete experiences that our community partners are designing for the students. And I ask the question, do we need new tools? Are we at a point where there's enough buy-in that we need to think about developing some tools? I don't know the answer to that, but it's something that I've been thinking about. Additionally, evaluation. I think this is an area that needs additional attention. We're starting to get there. So one of the things that I do in my spare time, right, with all of us, I do a lot of one-off interprofessional education experiences around campus. I'm kind of the easy, low-hanging fruit for people who want to get social work and law involved, and so they call Heather. But one of the things that we've really tried to pay attention to is how do we evaluate the work that we're doing And so we're still looking at that. We've adapted a few evaluation tools from Canada. It's great work coming out of Toronto in this area. But is there anything that we need to develop around more policy, macro level advocacy as opposed to practice level interprofessional work? And again, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's something to think about. In my class, we're talking about using a professional development journal, self-evaluation, team evaluation, but I still have that question of, is there a way beyond that deliverable that comes out for the experiential site to evaluate not just how they created the deliverable itself, but how they engaged with the team? So these are questions that, again, I want to just pose to the group. So in summary, I think law participation in this interprofessional movement is critical. When we talk about on the ground, we're seeing folks like Amy and Samantha and Charity for some time really doing the medical legal partnership piece, where we're working both with the patients and then some of the systems and macro issues coming out of that work. But in some interprofessional settings, we're seeing a very medically focused team. And should we be bringing law in? I'm really interested in this additional shift. I don't know that it's a shift, but additionally, continuing to build this move from micro to macro level interprofessional practice, that we're really intentionally bringing that systems focus in when we're doing our interprofessional work. As a team. And then thinking about how we collaborate with social science and educational scholars to ensure we've got a really strong evaluation component so we can see what does and what does not work as we're building these programs. Not new, we've seen some of them, but are continuing to build the kinds of programs we have. And I just want to again end with, this is a really exciting time to be involved with this, and I really am hoping we do have some time at the end to get some feedback from all of you here. So thank you very much.